Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints happy cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to a very special edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We convinced the one, the only award-winning actor, New Orleanian, Wendell Pierce, to give us a little time today. Dave is like, if Wendell Pierce is on here, I am on this podcast. I have so many Jack Ryan questions to ask you, Wendell, but we're gonna push that off. Dave wanted to start the question with a Super Bowl 44 question.
Well, back in 2009, when the Saints went to the Super Bowl, they went to Miami. I had to ride in a Mardi Gras parade the night before, so I left the morning of the game to Miami, and you, Wendell, were on my flight, and obviously you were, like the rest of us, happier than a pig in shit, excited to get to the game. But I just wanted to know, who did you go to the game with? Who did you go to the game with? Where were you sitting? You know, did you cash in any celebrity favors to get good seats or anything like that?
You know, I did not have that juice yet. I still don't know if I had it. You know, I underestimated the juice that I did have, so I did not cash in any celebrity favors. You know, I made somebody very happy at StubHub, and two tickets. My little Creole honey I'm dealing with took her to the game. And I'll never forget one thing. They wouldn't allow you to bring the umbrellas in, right?
No.
Everybody wanted to bring in their umbrellas and everything. So we had to leave that in the car. And even though I saw the whistle, man, he had to go through 3,000 layers of security with his big whistle head helmet. So went to the game. But the thing I remember the most about that game, two things. One, I was on, obviously, got my tickets from an Indianapolis fan because I was in a sea of blue. And three things, sea of blue. The second thing I remember is halftime. Started out, I wanted to check out the Who, right? It was the Who, right? Mm-hmm. I checked them out a little bit. I said, all right, now get ready for the second half. Go to the bathroom, get the deal done, and come back. Because we have the defense got us to the Super Bowl. I want to see what they're going to do, you know, to stop this offense and get us back in this game because we were down. And I went to the bathroom and I missed the most famous play in Saints history.
Oh my God!
Freaking long. And I came back and I was like, wait a minute, I thought we were kicking off, and no one around me, because they were Indianapolis fans, would tell me that I just missed the greatest fucking play. And excuse me, can I curse?
Yes,
you can curse all you want.
Yeah, I just said I was picking shit, and all that's all right. And I was like, damn. And my guest, I guess she went to St. James for the drinking. she really didn't know football, and so she wasn't able to tell me anything.
Well, now, and so you said your guest was a fine Creole honey. Is that what you said? Is that how you described her? So,
yes, Gabe. Let's move on.
My follow-up question was going to be whether
there were certain other people that may have thought, I think I was supposed to be at that game, you know.
But here's the thing. You didn't cash in a favor. You missed the greatest play in Saints history. But it was a magical experience. You've been nominated for Tony's producing. You've been – and by the way, I am a crazy fan of Death of the Salesman. I was looking in illegal places on the internet to try to find a version of your Death of a Salesman that you did in London, which is the reviews are fantastic. But where does the Super Bowl – the Saints – where does the Saints Super Bowl winning, where does it rank in like your lifetime memories? Because you have so many that regular people like us are like, wow, that's incredible. Where does the Saints Super Bowl winning rank for you?
You know, the Super Bowl win is, man, God, it's in the top three easily. In the top three, maybe in the top two. Because it's so much more than just sports. That was the thing that I realized. I'm a lot older than you cats, man. So, you know, I was going to Tulane Stadium with my dad in the nosebleed seats where, you know, you would bring your little lunch and my dad would sneak in beer wrapped in aluminum foil in his jacket, you know. And you had the same people year after year around you, a real amalgam of different people of different walks of life from disparate parts of the city. But we all had this one common thing that, you know, in the fall we would meet every Sunday or every other Sunday at Tulane Stadium. And all of those years are just childhood memories with my dad. And when we won, I burst into tears. And I literally just burst into tears because it was like the culmination of my childhood. And there was a little kid next to me from Indianapolis, and he was just looking at me and said, what is this strange motherfucker? Just, you know, this big black dude just crying and shit. And, oh, my God. You know, and I said, kid, when you get older, you'll understand this fucking thing. You know? So just relax. You'll understand. He's like, what the fuck? And my dad, so this is what, 10 years ago now?
Yeah, 11.
No, 11, yeah.
We're going on 11. So my dad is 84. At the time, my dad is 95 now, and can't hear. He's deaf. You know, like we say he's hard of hearing, but he's deaf. Can't hear shit, right, and you can't talk to him on the phone. And I told and I have my mother get on the phone at the time, man. And I was just like, tell daddy I love him. You know, tell him how much it meant to me to take me to the game every Sunday at Tulane Stadium. And this is for him. And I will never forget what he means to me and how much I love him. And every time I meet a Saints player from that team, I said, what you did was fantastic. It's a historical sports moment. I said, but what you don't realize, and maybe you do, you create memories.
Yeah.
Family memories. And because we associate everything with those Sundays, you know. So when I see the Saints, I think of my father, you know?
Yeah.
I just think of my father, and I just – and then I did pull strings after the Super Bowl, and I was able to take my parents to the White House for the ring ceremony.
Oh my God.
See, you went to the ring ceremony?
Well, whatever, you know, when Obama honored them at the White House.
Yeah, you got to go to that.
See –
I got to go to that.
That is a proper. So
that was proper celebrity pull strings to get it. Obama was a big fan of The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
Along with that, I was able to get in. Yeah, man. And I was like, and that was just fantastic. You know, to take them to the White House, you know, for my parents at that age to be there with the first black president and then with the Saints. You know, winning the Super Bowl. And, you know, my father was like, this is what America's all about.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can't imagine.
People always go to, man, this is America.
Son, you have made it.
You have done it.
Well, here's the interesting thing about your career is that, you know, a lot of actors are like, well, I went to college and I was doing this and it kind of just fell into it. You are not that way. You went to Juilliard, which is a famous acting school for people who don't know. So you've wanted to do this your whole life.
Yeah, I started at NOCA.
That's right.
The New Orleans Center for Creative Arts, which is a performing arts high school here in New Orleans. And I had the best of both worlds. I had an academic, one of the best schools. I don't care where you two went to. Ben Franklin, yo.
Ben Franklin.
Number one, Oxnoclaw. Yeah, of course, we got our ass kicked in every sport. But now the new Franklin has a great soccer team. But I'm sorry, I cut your question off.
No, it's fine.
I was playing football. I was pretty good in football. I was fat and fast.
It's a good combination, actually.
Right, it's a great combination in football. I remember I played from Pontchartrain Park, which Nord was a great system. I guess it still is. I shouldn't break on it. The New Orleans Recreational Department was great because it was the first time kids from different parts of the city got to meet kids from other parts of the city that they would never get to meet, you know? And so I was a star in Pontchartrain Park's football team. I always had to play with the older kids because I never could make the weight. Right? I'm always too heavy. And I remember the great coach Mack in Pontchartrain Park would make me run to the stadium so I could hopefully lose weight and make the weight. And it worked a couple of times. And so it took me around the city. And I was playing football for Gregory Junior High. I went to Gregory. And it was there where a teacher came. No. I left there and I started at Ben Franklin and was going out for the football team. And there was a teacher, Elliot Keener, who came recruiting for the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts, NOCA. And it was like we were the only two people in the room. All of a sudden, everybody went away and I was just drilling him with questions because I had done a play in the sixth grade at the University of New Orleans, Midsummer Night's Magic. And I dug it. I was like, this is great, man, you know? It was for a husband and wife graduate team for summer camp. And then when they came recruiting for NOCA, it touched something in me. And I remember going to my football coach, Coach O'Neill at Franklin. And I said, I want to be an actor. He was like, what? Pierce, what are you talking about? God damn it. Practice starts next week. I was waiting on you to, God damn it. What's your big ass going to do in acting? You know, I'm like, I want to be an actor, you know? And the great thing about NOCA is they treat it serious. And they said, if you decide now at 14 years old, you don't have what it takes to be a professional artist, it's better to find out right now than find out when you're 30, 35 years old and it's been a pipe dream and you don't have the chops or you don't have the will to do it. So that's how I started. And so it was at NOCA, and then I went to Juilliard. And Juilliard, going to Juilliard for the acting is like playing basketball at Duke. You know, everybody in the business is going to know about you, even if you sit in the bench, you know. That got a real head start on it.
What was the first moment where you're like, I want to be an actor. I've gone to Juilliard. I've worked my butt off. But you know what? It's going to work out. I'm going to do this. Was there a moment where you got a part or something where you're like,
It took a year because I was so, Juilliard is tough. It comes, you know, kind of based on the English conservatory system. So, you know, you have teachers saying, you know, with that S, you'll never work in the American theater. You know, my God, that is the worst, you know, scene ever. Yeah, I mean, it was hard. It was like Vince Lombardi sort of approach to acting. God damn it, that's awful, you know. And the one thing I wasn't certain about a lot of things when I graduated from Juilliard, but I was certain about one thing: I wasn't an actor. I was so beat up by the constant pressure in competition and to get better, I wasn't certain. And so when I got a job, I was just like, oh, that was a fluke. And then I got my next job, and I was like, boy, you know, the imposter syndrome set in real deep. They're going to figure out one day, I'm really not good at this. And then I got another job. And then I got, so I did a movie, I'd done a play, and I think I got this TV gig. I think every New York actor seems to land on Law and Order at one point or another. I think my early Law and Orders happened then. And I realized that I had done a film, a play, and television. I was just like, wait a minute, there's a year gone by. And I said, I might be able to do this. And so that's when I came to an understanding that, okay, I'm a professional actor. And I tell actors all the time, decide that you are a professional actor. Employment doesn't define you, whether you're working or not. Just make the decision, I'm a professional actor, and let me attack this.
Well, let me ask you this. You are obviously a crazy Saints fan. So have you ever been at work on a set and the Saints are playing and you're like, I got to know the score. What's going on? Oh. Are they winning?
Yeah, I don't play that shit. It's like there will be a computer or a phone or something rigged up no matter where I am so I can see the game, you know.
So you never miss a game.
I never miss a game.
How often do you get to go to the actual games usually?
I try to go to a game. I try to go. There's a great book called Mama Day. It's a love story. It's cool. But the guy and the woman, when they came together, his big thing was, hey, listen, I'll do anything, but don't mess with the fact that I go to all the playoff games. it was in this novel. And that was the first time I was just like, wait a minute. That's what you should be doing, especially, you know, in this era, you should be going. So I definitely tried to make it to all the playoff games. And after the Super Bowl run in this era, we are watching the greatest era of Saints football and NFL football, I think, right now, you know, man. Drew Brees is just amazing, man.
Well, that's
if you see him in person, I want to be able to say years from now, you know, there were people who say, hey, man, you know, I was in Green Bay when Vince Lombardi was there. You know, I saw that Joe Namath Super Bowl, you know, when they beat Johnny Unitas. You know, I saw Johnny Unitas. I used to hear that shit in Baltimore all the time when I was doing The Wire. But right now I tell people, I say, man, we are seeing Drew Brees. You can say years from now, I was there. And so I try to go to the game. I try to make games during the year whenever I can. But I definitely try to make the playoff games because those are historic. And then I met a guy in London. I was in London all last year. First of all, great fan base there, Saints fan base. I thought you guys were the podcast from London. They were trying to get me on forever. They're like, whoa. And there's a Saints bar and pub in East London and everything. I never got a chance to get there. But a huge fan. And I met a guy in St. James Park. I heard, who dat? Who dat? Right? Mr. Pierce, who dat? That he says, yes, I'm a big Saints fan. I go to all the home games. I said, oh shit. I said, so you live in New Orleans, man? And he goes, no, I live here in London. I said, wait a minute. You know, he was a CEO, so he had the money. I said, you go to every Saints game? He goes, yeah, every Saints home game.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know what it is, Wendell, is, and this has surprised us, like 20% of our listeners are international. And the international Saints fans, the reason they say is they say, we saw what happened with Katrina and the devastation, and we just sort of wanted to help the city and be bonded with the city, and we, like, adopted the Saints as our NFL team. And it's – that is the story of probably 90% of our international fans. They, like, Katrina made us Saints fans.
I also was doing a film in Canada one time. And there was a huge Saints fan on the crew. And I said, it was in Nova Scotia. I said, man, how did you become a Saints fan? He said, man, one Sunday on some, you know, obscure channel on television here in Canada, they happened to play an NFL game. They didn't play it often. And it was the Saints. And I was a little kid. He said, I don't care what anybody says. Those are the coolest fucking uniforms in the NFL. And I was like, oh, shit, that's my team. And he's been a Saints fan. And he had Saints paraphernalia and gear and stuff that I hadn't even seen, man. It was great, man. It was
Saints,
great.
Saints just seeps into your bones, I guess. But Wendell, you mentioned you're a little bit older than us, but not much.
One other thing. I know. I'm gonna.
No. My answer. Go ahead.
I said I was gonna be short-winded, and now I'm talking like catty cat. But the best being talking about being on set or something and not being able to see the Saints. I never miss it. But the best last year was great because the games, you know, the way it works out, the games are in the evening on Sundays, and that was my Sunday evening in London. But I was shooting in Moscow on Monday night when Drew broke one of the multitudes of records. And I was like, I have to see that game, you know, because I knew he was going to break the record. And I found a sports bar, 24-hour sports bar in Moscow, and watched that game at 4 a.m. It was a great sports bar too, man. Moscow, central Moscow is very rich. So they had, I was just like, you know, okay, this is where the oligarchs live, you know.
How crowded is a Moscow sports bar at 4 a.m.?
At 4 a.m. is no one there. They had like four tables. And so they knew I was coming. They had it on all the screens and had it on this big screen, this stadium seating. And I had, you know, all the Moscovites in there going, who'll that say they're going to beat the Saints? You know, so that's one of my fondest memories on set, watching it. 4 a.m. going to a sports bar in Moscow on Monday night when Drew Brees broke the record last year for the year before for whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Drew, obviously we know we've got him this season, and most likely this will be his last. So I wanted to ask you the same question that I think is on everybody's minds. What do you think the Saints are going to do next year after Drew's gone?
First of all, I don't think it's his last season.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
I think he does two more.
Okay. This season and next season.
This season, okay. I think he has two more.
Okay.
One, we win the Super Bowl this year. He's going to go, I could go out on top, but ooh, I mean, we're here. You know, we have all the pieces.
Yeah.
So shot at it, right? And then let me go out. He might, if we don't win the Super Bowl this year, it's going to be too close. He's going to go, I got to be there, right?
Yeah.
No, we got too close because we're going to get close again. The only time I see him going out is if we have what we had in 2010 after the Super Bowl. You know, that one season that it's just like, oh, my God, we won the Super Bowl last year. How could we be such fuck-ups, right? We have one of those seasons. Well, he's definitely coming back. No, he's not going to go. But I think I think it's up in the air. You know, I think it's going to be a competition. I mean, it's going to be a competition. You know, everyone loves Taysom Hill, and I do too. And Taysom Hill is going to say, I'm Taysom Hill, you know. You can bring in Jameson. You can bring in everybody. I'm going to compete. He's going to compete for it. He's going to compete for it. And I say his name wrong. Jameis Winston, yes. Great. This was the smartest move he's made ever, you know, with all the stupid shit. And, you know, he's the typical kid who got everything he wanted because he was the best ever. And they treated him with gold kid gloves in Florida when he was in school. And then, you know, and then at Tampa Bay and tolerated all that. Are we going to eat a win? Remember that? That was stupid. And now he's been humbled. He's been humbled. He passed all those yards last year, and then but he threw like the most interceptions ever, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, man, and he saw Teddy Bridgewater. He said, man, let me get in that quarterback room and learn from Drew before he goes. If he learns from Drew, that'll be amazing. I think Taysom Hill has a great chance, you know? He has a great chance. And, yeah, he has a great chance. We're going to get somebody good some kind of way because along with Coach and Drew, we have to give it up to Mickey Loomis, man.
Yeah.
What he's done in this era has been amazing. Whenever we, oh, you traded Reggie. Ooh, Sproles. Oh, wow, you got rid of Sproles. Ooh, Brandon Cooks. Well, you got rid of Brandon Cooks. Oh, I mean, you know, he never let us down. You know,
except Jarris Bird.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And the Junior Golet contract, but that's it. The last 5 years, it's been magical.
It's been great.
The draft.
Yeah. You know, and Peterson too, and a couple of years, there was like those free agents that are like, "This is, I'm at the end of my career. I could go and, you know, raid the bank at the Saints." But, you know, it's great. So I think Taysom has a great chance of getting the gig.
Who is as big and crazy a sports fan as you that you've worked with on set? Have you met anyone that's quite as crazy about sports as you are about the Saints?
Oh, I'm nothing, man. Actors especially. Actors are crazy sports fans. Crazy sports fans. We have a running joke, you know. We'd be in the theater and we're like talking about the games. And people are like, do you think they're sitting in the locker room going, "Oh, man, did you see Cats? Cats was bullshit." But, you know, the next thing I'm going to say, so they're not talking about us like this, you know. Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to go to Broadway and see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I mean, you know, Laurie Metcalf is brilliant. You know? But, you know, we talk about it. The best time I had with an actor was, it was also the best of times, the worst of times. I flew from L.A. I was working on Unsolved with Josh Duhamel. And Josh played, you know, pretty boy. Oh, I couldn't wait to beat his ass. No, Josh, you know, walks into a room and all the women are just like, "Oh," and half the dudes are like, "Ooh." You know, so, so he's like, you know, and he's a really nice guy. As beautiful and handsome as he is, he's just as nice. So I'm like, all right, cool. He's a huge Minnesota fan. He played.
Oh, no. Minnesota.
We flew from L.A. to the game. I'm talking shit. We go to the club. Drinking, and oh, I'm talking trash. Unfortunately, we didn't have, we go on the field on both sides before the game, you know, on the sidelines watching warm-ups. Oh, it's great, man. This one kid I saw up there, I gave him my sideline pass. He was a Saints fan. Oh, he was like, oh, it was great. So it was going great. I'm dapping up the team and shit. I'm like, oh. So we had separate seats, and so we were texting each other in the game, and he was like, "Damn, man, Drew Brees is just amazing. He's just amazing. Oh, I'm so bad. I can't believe you guys came back the way you did." And it was one of the greatest comebacks in NFL playoff history, right? It was going to be the greatest comeback. Right? And I'll just never forget. I turned around and I'm pointing at Saints fans. Like, we did it. This is fuck you, sit down. I'm like, fuck me. Why you want to say fuck me? Oh, that's right. That's what your mama told me last night. Yes, this is great. We're going to win. And then security came. Sit down. Turn around. Look at the game, right? I said, turn around. The game is over. Over. Right? Talking much trash. And, of course.
Oh, no.
I turn around and the Minnesota Miracle happened. And I thought, one, I was going to get my ass kicked, right? So I just told him, protect your face because these guys are going to be like, ah. And I'll just never forget. I knew they weren't going to win the Super Bowl in that moment because nothing could eclipse it, right?
Yeah.
That'd be great. And they stayed in the stadium an hour after the game. First of all, it was cold as shit in Minnesota, so
you don't want to go outside.
All the bars and everything are there, you know, in the stadium. Great restaurants and stuff like that, you know. And I sat in that stadium, man, for an hour after that game. I was like, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. And to this day, I could not get to Josh afterwards. But to this day, we are always, you know, no matter where we are, going back and forth about football, and he always goes, he always ends it with Minnesota Miracle. And
well, that
he always drops that on me. And then he came down here. I was over in London. He came down here and we played Minnesota again. And he's just like, man, are you guys ever going to get tired of getting your ass kicked by us?
Oh, no.
I'm coming. Anthony Mackie is, I think Anthony Mackie is even a bigger Saints fan than I am, man. There's so many fans.
I'd like to take a second to shout out the network that helps distribute our show, Armchair Media. Armchair is a collection of 50 podcasts, including ours, trying to localize the sports world a little bit. We've been with them since 2017, roundabout, and have enjoyed growing our audience with theirs. Starting June 1st, Bet Online will serve as the title sponsor for Armchair as well as our show. It's a perfect match. This will open up possibilities to develop merchandise as well as hosting live events once we return to a semblance of normalcy. In addition to Bet Online coming aboard, Armchair is now going to serve as the host network for the world's largest skateboarding podcast, The Nine Club, hosted by professional skaters Chris Roberts and Kelly Hart. The Nine Club talks every week with the biggest names in skating. They're on social media at The Nine Club. To see more, search Armchair Media wherever you get your pods. Also, check us out on the Armchair's website, armchairmedianetwork.com, and their social channels at Armchair Media. Armchair Media, those who can do, those who can't, hashtag take a seat.
That leads me into a question that I had. So personally for you, between the Minnesota Miracle and the no call, which one is worse to you?
The no call. I still think we need to get some benefit from that.
We need to get some.
I'm serious, man.
Restitution.
We need some restitution. We should get a first round draft pick or something. We need some restitution. If we're going to do that, which I actually think is right, you know, to incentivize people to get more minorities as coaches and change the Rooney rule, and now they're going to say, all right, we're going to give you a draft pick. Well, we need some restitution, because the commissioner was sitting in Kansas City and saw what the whole world saw. And all he had to do was pick up the phone and call New York and say, hey, man, talk to his staff or anybody. I'm sure he knew the rule. Can't I step in? Can't I do something? Overturn that call. Review it. It's not reviewable, but what can I do? And then we find out later that he actually could do something. I mean, it wasn't even close, you know. The dude who even did it knows it. Everybody knows it. And, you know, I went deep. I went on the Rich Eisen show, and I went deep. I was like, the conspiracy is on, you know. You just needed the Rams in the Super Bowl because they're spending a $2 billion. They're building a $2 billion stadium, and nobody's going to be in that shit, you know, unless they make it to the Super Bowl, because nobody goes to the game now. I'm going to stop cursing.
It doesn't matter.
And so, yeah, that was the worst. I'll tell you something else, which is interesting because it's a little competitive. I was in San Francisco. That was it was right after 2011, end of the 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, Vernon Davis. Goody sold us out.
Oh, no.
It's really not selling us out because he's on the San Francisco team. And if you've been on the other team, the competitor, and you recognize something, if you watch that, you go back to the tape, he comes out of the huddle and he recognizes the defense. And he turns around to Alex Smith and he's just like, safety blitz. You see him. He's like, hit him over the middle, safety blitz. Jenkins was still with us. Thank God he's back.
Roman Harper too. Oh my God.
Yeah, and it was the safety blitz, and they burned us over the middle, man. He read the defense, and that was because Goody was center. Goodwin was center.
We just had him on the podcast not too long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he admit to that?
No.
He didn't, but he
We didn't ask him though.
We didn't ask him that, but he definitely, like, he was one of the Saints' favorites because he left. He went to San Francisco. They brought him. Remember, they brought him back for one more year. They loved him so much.
Yeah, he's like Jenkins, man. Yeah. So that I'll never forget that game. Also, those are 1, 2, 3. That the no call, Minnesota and San Francisco, and I was at all three.
Oh my God, that's a lot of that is a lot of pain. Yeah. But I was going to ask you, you know. What's the first Saints player that you watched in Tulane Stadium when you were young that you still have a emotional attachment to, that you love, that other people might not think is so great, but you, that's your guy when you were a kid that really made you love the Saints?
Oh, well, I think the whole experience was I just loved the whole experience about, you know, just going to the games and all. But Archie Manning was the man. I always he is the epitome of optimism in my eyes, because I always felt like he really was. Well, next year is going to be different, you know, because Archie was always, I felt optimistic because he was always fucking scrambling because we had the worst line, and he was always running for his life, you know. He was running for his life. And when I always thought that was a part of the game, like, yeah, look at Archie Manning. He can do anything. He can run around and they can't get him, you know. Yay, Archie. Yay, Archie. Right? And I did not realize, thankfully, the game, my knowledge of the game has improved. I thought, man, Archie Manning was cool. I thought he was the shit. So Archie Manning was... You know, he was my man. And I thought this the other day. I was just like, Archie Manning's in the Hall of Fame, right? I actually thought that the other day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I couldn't believe he's not in the Hall of Fame. And I was now, like, how could Archie Manning? I was like, well, God, I guess I gotta look at the numbers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I was like, oh. The thing is, though, with Archie, and this, if you're out there, Google Archie Manning, Paul Zimmerman. It's a feature from 1980. Archie Manning got beat up so much, he hired Mackie Schulstone, and Archie Manning was like like a decade ahead in fitness. And he's like, I just have to work out so hard because I get injured all the time. He didn't blame anybody, but you know, it's like, yeah, because you get stacked 50 times a year, you have to be in tip-top shape so you don't die.
And also back then, we saw great players. You know, you saw great players for brief periods of time, man. I remember when Chuck Muncy came through, when Earl Campbell came through. And I was actually there. This is another awful story, but a great story at the same time. This was my second missed historical play. I was there for Tom Dempsey's kick. And my father famously went, 63 yards? Oh, come on, let's get out of here.
Oh, no.
We were walking down the Vams, and I remember looking up through one of the ramps and seeing the flight of the ball. And then 2 seconds later, I thought it was an earthquake because the stadium was rocking.
Because it was steel. The Tulane Stadium was steel, right?
Yeah, steel. That's these steel girders, and we're walking underneath it, you know. And it was rocking. And we ran up one of the ramps to just see the celebration. So I saw the flight of the ball and the stadium rock like it was earthquake, and then the celebration. So I was there and I didn't see the kick.
So what we need to do is we need Wendell Pierce at a Saints playoff game, but we need you to go to the bathroom or turn around or look at your phone at a key moment.
Right.
And something amazing will happen for the Saints.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And because of that, our first – I was at the game, Minnesota, yes, when we were going to the Super Bowl, when they lined up for the kick, when Garrett lined up for the kick to take us to the Super Bowl, there was this one guy in front of me like this, like, I can't watch. I said, no, motherfucker. You're going to watch this. I grabbed a stranger's head. I said, oh, no, we waited too long for this shit. You watch it. And I made him watch it, man. It exploded. That night, I think, it's right up there with the Super Bowl when we want to go into the Super Bowl, because the spontaneous celebration that happened all over the city and state and region. I mean, there were – second lines all over, bands came out of nowhere all night long partying. It was just great.
Yeah, the one thing I remember about that game is, you know, everybody stayed and we didn't want to leave. And I remember finally we're getting ready to leave, and this older gentleman, like three rows below me, he always has a walker that he folds up under his seat, and his son said, Dad, it's time to go. And he turned to him, and he just had tears in his face. And he's just like, I need 5 more minutes. And I was just like, wow. And it just like, it hits you, these moments that you have. And like you said earlier, it's just New Orleans. It brings us together. And I don't know if you're familiar with Buddy D, the late sportscaster. Yes. He used to always say to me when the Saints were bad under Hazard, he would say, Ralph, I have to hold them accountable, because he believed, and I don't know if it's true, but he believed that the Saints were the one thing that united the city, everybody, black, white, poor, rich. He said it unites us, and I have to hold them accountable, because if the Saints don't win and they get bad and God forbid they leave, this city will never be the same. So I got to hold them accountable every day. And that's when the Saints were terrible. And it just, him saying that always stuck with me. And you brought it up at the beginning that it's just like this, it's a lot of things in New Orleans bond us together, but I feel like the Saints is one of those, the biggest things.
It really brings us together. People that you just never expect to be Saints fans, and no matter where you are in the world, when you meet a Saints fan, you know, that's what I've experienced all my travels. I've been out of the country for the past 3 years, basically, shooting Jack Ryan and doing Death of a Salesman in London. And just the Saints fans all over the world have just been amazing.
So speaking of Jack Ryan, my wife, she's not on this, but she had like 7,000 questions to ask you. Season 3, can you give us at least a little tease about what's going on in Venezuela with you and Jack Ryan?
Well, every season is different. The first season was we shot in Morocco, but it wasn't Morocco. It was all over the Middle East, Turkey and Jordan and places, but we shot in Morocco, and last year it was Colombia for Venezuela. I know nothing about season three because we were literally stopped in our tracks with this pandemic. And the one thing that I can tease you with, and this is going to be a little trivia because I know it's not going to happen that way, we were going to be in China.
Oh.
We're going to be shooting in China in April. And that didn't happen. So I think that is changing. So we have no idea. All the production in Hollywood is shut down, so we don't know. I talked to John Krasinski just yesterday on Memorial Day, and so we're just trying to figure out. And they're in the writing room now, changing things up, and we're just waiting for the protocol to how we work on sets is figured out. We're still trying to figure that out.
So my last question for you, Wendell, give me a prediction for the 2020 Saints, their record.
Uh, 12-4.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
You think there's going to be a full season? That's my question.
I think it's going to be a full season because while we're talking about all of our experiences at the game and stuff like that, that is a rarefied thing. Mm-hmm. The NFL is the NFL is a television show.
Yeah.
Right? The NFL is – all sports is a television show. And once people – once the leagues accept that and understand it, you know, I get a Sunday ticket, you know, because I'm all over the place so I can watch the games. And I usually – and I love to watch the games after, on Tuesday because that's when the shortcuts come on. And every game they cut out the huddles and cut out the commercials. They show all the replays on big plays and touchdowns. But you see every play, and with the huddles cut out and the commercials cut out, it's a half hour.
It is.
Right? No game for 30
Sometimes
minutes.
Not even,
right? And so you get that and you go, man, well, we spend 3 hours in that stadium and at home, you know? So once they realize, you know, it's a television show. The NBA, too, it's a television show. And – I have no problem without fans. First of all, it's a television show, so in my world, they could CGI fans, in the fans, right? Man. And they come up with a protocol of like, you know, how much can we play and the level. Shit, Seattle was doing that shit already with the 12th man chant, you know. How much audio can I type in, right? And the normal thing is we always, it's a home game, so we can pipe it up when you're on, you know, offense, you know, and we'll do it like if fans were here, right? And we'll play the music in the breaks and all of that stuff, and they can agree upon what is a baseline of audio crowd noise.
Right, but we'll have to keep our eye on the Falcons because they might exceed that threshold a few times.
Of course, they will.
Well, the one thing
Patriots,
the Patriots too. The Patriots love to skirt the rules. The one thing I was going to say, Wendell, is I really hope you're right about Drew Brees playing 2 years, not just because he's amazing and you want 2 years instead of one, but I feel as like fans, even if the Saints win the Super Bowl this year, it'd be amazing, and that's true. But I want to be able to say goodbye to Drew, and I want it to be Saints fans in the dome, in the stadium. So that's why when you said it, you think he's going to play 2 years, I really hope he does, because I just feel like New Orleans, we need to give the proper New Orleans send-off to Drew Brees, and that can't happen with an empty stadium, even if they win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely, especially if it's going to be a season where it's going to be fans pulled back or no fans or whatever. You know, even if everything works out and we get a vaccine, you know, in September, you know, all of a sudden we have a vaccine, we have treatment and vaccine and all, people are still going to be a little, maybe not Saints fans. They'll come. Okay, we got a vaccine. Shit, I can do it. I'll go. Right. We're still going to be a little hesitant. You know, God, that vaccine was early. I don't want to get it from the vaccine. You know, people are still going to be a little skittish, you know, but I think, but you have a decent enough crowd, You know, I think we'll be at like 75-80% if that happens. I think right now we'll be like at 25-30%, you know, if we come back. That's still a decent size, you know, but it's a television show. We remember that. But sending Drew off would be nice. And I think, especially ideally for me, win the Super Bowl this year. And at the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl announced, next year will be my last year.
I love it.
Right. And let's get the cameras in here.
Subscribe.
And I'll have my own Last Dance, you know, documentary, right? And, you know, and let's go. See, because all of them, all those guys saw the Last Dance, like we all did, about Michael Jordan and the 98 Bulls. And we're like, you know something? I don't want just one.
I want multiple ones.
I want to two that, you know? That's what I want to two that, you know, three that.
The Last Dance, but featuring the Saints with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, I would watch 20 hours of that. That would be amazing. Full access behind the scenes of Sean Payton-led team with Drew Brees. Would be amazing. Amazing.
Last year, that would be amazing. Yeah, but the problem is Sean wouldn't allow that because I'm still going to be coaching. And Drew probably wouldn't allow it because he's like, I'm going to be coaching too, right? Yeah. I mean, you know. Right. This is my incubator, so I'm going to be coaching also.
Wendell, thanks so much, Guy, for joining us. You gave us way more time than we asked for.
Luckily, I forgot how much time you asked for. I assumed it was an hour.
So
I ruined your podcast.
No, you did not. You did not. This podcast has been so amazing. When I was just thinking as we wrap up, usually there's one or two highlights that I'll clip and tease out to people. This has like about seven that I have to think of. It's been amazing, Wendell. We can't wait to see Jack Ryan season 3 and anything else you're working on. Thanks for joining us.
And now, I just want to say one thing. Mario Davis. I still believe DeMario Davis. People were sleeping on him. He's one of the greats, man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I cannot believe the way he was treated with accolades at the end of last season. He should have been at the Pro Bowl. He should have been all team, everything. Yeah. He is a monster, man. He is a monster. And now they're bringing that Bond kid in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Bond. No,
I just think DeMario Davis. I just wanted to give him a shout out.
No, DeMario.
Right, he's one of my favorite players, man. He's one of my favorite players right now.
DeMario Davis is one. He's probably, if he has another two great seasons, I think you can argue that he is maybe the second or third best linebacker in Saints history behind Ricky Jackson. He's been that amazing.
Yeah, he's been amazing, man. He can go from sideline to sideline so fast. That's so great. But listen, I'm getting off the mark.
No.
Man, and, it's really about the work that you do and the people that you do it with, you know, and the Saints are doing great work. And as a people, they have brought us all together. So, who dat?
Guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for Wendell Pierce. Thank you, Wendell. Guys, it's been a great podcast. Support us. It allows us to do great shows like this. We'll see you next time.